It's John chapter 14, please, for today's scripture reading. And we'll begin to read at verse number 1. John 14, verse 1. We find the Savior here in the upper room with the disciples. And here we have a wonderful passage of comfort. It's a passage that brings peace and comfort to the Lord's people. You often hear it read at funeral services. But it's, of course, a passage that need not only be read at funerals, but it can be read at any time, and particularly when, as Christians, we're going through trials. John 14 and verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now, that's a wonderful verse. But if I had been reading in the NIV today, you'd have lost your mansion, you'd have got a room. The NIV, some people call it the Northern Ireland version. I prefer to call it the non-inspired version. But the NIV, it says, "In my Father's house are many rooms." Rooms, but, well, we don't believe that's an accurate translation. We believe that the word mansions is accurate. And thank God today, as the hymn writer put it, "I've got a mansion just over the hilltop." Verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." 50 years ago yesterday, Sir Winston Churchill passed away. All of the hymns that we have sung this morning were sung at his funeral. It's amazing what you can do now with modern technology. You can actually go and look at the order of service for the funeral of Churchill. And the four hymns that we're singing today were the exact same four hymns that were sung the day that Winston Churchill was buried, January the 30th, 1965. You do know, of course, or maybe you don't, that Winston Churchill as a boy was nearly drowned, very nearly drowned as a young boy. He was playing and swimming with other children, and he got into difficulties and he was drowning, and the other children shouted. And the gardener of the estate where they were swimming, he came running and jumped in and saved young Winston. And of course, his parents, Churchill's parents, came over, were so thankful, so grateful to the gardener for saving the life of their son. And they said, "Well, now, what can we do for you? Is there anything that we can do to repay you for what you've done?" The gardener was a poor man, and he had a son. And he said, "Well, my son would love to go to college to study medicine." And so, of course, Churchill's parents, they paid for the young boy to go to university. Many years later, whenever Winston Churchill was older, he contracted pneumonia. And he was dying, very seriously ill with pneumonia. And the king at that time called for the best doctor in the land to come to the side of Winston Churchill. Yes, you've all guessed it. Who came? The son of the gardener who had saved Winston Churchill from drowning all those years before. Do you know what his name was? Alexander Fleming. Do you know what he's famous for? Discovering penicillin. And he was able to administer penicillin to Winston Churchill and saved his life. And Churchill used to always say that he had a double debt to that family. How he had been saved by the father in his childhood, and how in later years he had been saved by the son from dying. We ought to remember Winston Churchill. You're maybe asking, why should we remember him? Why should we speak about him? Well, the Bible does say in Romans chapter 13, render therefore to all their dues honor to whom honor. We are to honor those who deserve to be honored. And Winston Churchill certainly deserves to be honored. You may have seen on the news in recent days how that the day he was buried, as his cortege passed along, that traveled on the River Thames, even the very cranes on the River Thames bowed down to salute him. They gave honor to a great leader, and we need to give honor to him as well. We pay tribute to him, and we thank God for how he was used in the war to bring deliverance to Europe. Of course, Winston Churchill loved the Jewish people. We need to remember that as well. Someone was speaking to his biographer one day, a man by the name of Martin Gilbert, Churchill's biographer. And this gentleman said to Gilbert, he said, yes, well, Winston Churchill has many good qualities, but you know, he has a very serious fault. And of course, the biographer got his pen ready. He wanted to take note of this. A serious fault of Churchill? What is it? And the gentleman went on to say, you know, he is too fond of Jews. He's too fond of Jews. That's his fault. Well, I don't know about you today, but in my book, that's not a fault. To love the Jews, God's ancient people, that's a positive thing. Winston Churchill had a great love for Israel. He said on one occasion, it is manifestly right that the Jews who are scattered all over the world should have a national center and a national home where some of them may be reunited. And where else could that be but in the land of Palestine, with which for more than 3,000 years they have been intimately and profoundly associated? Yeah, we should remember Churchill today because the Bible tells us to honor them that deserve to be honored, but also because of his love for the Jewish people. I'm sure you heard about the awful attack the other day in Israel. 12 people on the bus stabbed by that terrorist. And we know today that Israel is under attack and under constant threat. And Winston Churchill loved the Jewish people, and we ought to love them too. Tuesday, of course, is the anniversary of the Holocaust. It's called Holocaust Memorial Day. Every year at the end of January, it's Holocaust Memorial Day. And we'll maybe say more about that tonight as the Lord leads. But you know, Winston Churchill loved John chapter 14. We've read this beautiful passage already today. And there was a phrase that Churchill used a number of times in his speeches and in his communications with other people. It's that phrase, in my Father's house are many mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. And Churchill, he used to talk about a house of many mansions. There are 5 different occasions in his career whenever he used that term. The first one was in 1908 in Dundee. He spoke there and he said, Cologne Cathedral took 600 years to build. Generations of architects and builders lived and died while the work was in progress. So let it be with the British Commonwealth. Let us build wisely. Let us build surely. Let us build faithfully. Let us build not for the moment, but for future years. My, isn't that good advice even for a church? as a church to build for future years, look at the long term. Don't look at the short term. Don't walk by sight. Walk by faith. He goes on to say, let us build not for the moment, but for future years, seeking to establish here below what we hope to find above, a house of many mansions where there shall be room for all. Well, that's the gospel today. There is room for all in the house of many mansions. I wonder, are you heading there? I wonder, will you go to the place that Churchill spoke about? Are you prepared? Yes, the Lord Jesus has been preparing heaven for 2,000 years now. It only took him 6 days to prepare the universe for us to live in. But it's taken him 2,000 years to prepare the eternal dwelling place of Christians. My, it must be a wonderful place, a beautiful place. Let me just ask you today, are you ready? Are you prepared for the journey to the house of many mansions? There's another occasion when Winston Churchill, as Home Secretary, he said in the city of London, the British Empire must be a house of many mansions in which there shall be room for each and all to develop to the fullest his personal or national contribution to the common united welfare and to the strength of the indivisible whole. During World War II, he encouraged people that the Nazis would be defeated, that liberation would come. He said, the day will come when the joy bells will ring again throughout Europe, and when victorious nations, masters not only of their foes but of themselves, will plan and build in justice, in tradition and in freedom, a house of many mansions where there will be room for all. He was speaking on one occasion during World War II to President Roosevelt. They were to meet in Tehran, and there was slight worry about whether it would be a safe place for them to meet. But Winston Churchill, he sent a telegram to the president. He just used 9 words. See St. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 4. That was the message. See John chapter 14, 1 to 4, again, the passage that speaks of the house of many mansions. Just one final incident from his life when he used this phrase in 1946, in perhaps his most crucial speech of the post-war years. He said, none of these clash with the general interest of a world agreement or a world organization. On the contrary, they help it. In my Father's house are many mansions. Special associations between members of the United Nations, which have no aggressive point against any other country, which harbor no design incompatible with the Charter of the United Nations, far from being harmful, are beneficial and, I believe, indispensable. So time and time again, there you have the great war leader. He speaks about the house of many mansions. I want us to come just for the last few moments of the service today to think about John chapter 14, this lovely passage that we have read already, so often quoted by Churchill. I want you to notice first of all that we find here a new peace. In John 14, the Savior speaks about a new peace. He says in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. There's peace. The Lord Jesus encourages us as believers to trust in him, to believe in him, to rely upon him, to depend upon him. And as we trust in him, we will have peace. Wonder, is your heart tossed to and fro today? There may be many different reasons why you're in turmoil today, why you're worried and afraid. You're anxious for your loved ones who are outside of Christ. Perhaps you're anxious about your employment today. The farm. And we all know, I'm sure, about the difficulties of farmers and how the milk prices have fallen in recent times. And we've heard it on the news and seen it in the papers, how that the farmers are finding it so difficult. Dairy farmers across the nation. And, well, this is my opinion. You mightn't share it, but I believe the government should support the farmers more. I honestly believe that. But what's the reality? They don't do it. And I'll tell you another thing, Europe certainly doesn't do it. I believe one of the reasons why farmers have had it so difficult is because of all the directives and all the nonsense coming from the European Union. Of course, our own government, they're not like Winston Churchill. They just cower before the great European Union and do their bidding. But maybe the farm today causes you to be anxious. Maybe you, whatever employment you're in, your children, maybe the church. Maybe you're anxious today because of sickness, the sickness of a loved one, your own sickness. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes today to us with a message of peace. There's a new peace that he wants us to have. The American people, of course, have their coinage. And on the coins in America, there's four words, "In God we trust." In God we trust. On their banknotes, "In God we trust." Sad to say, there are many Americans today, including the president, and it doesn't appear that in God they trust any longer. But that's on the currency. But you know, that ought to be our attitude today as believers. In God we trust. If we trust in the Lord, as the book of Proverbs tells us, with all of our hearts, then he's the one who will make our paths straight. He'll direct our paths. He'll give us peace. Trust in the Lord. I know it's good to talk with other believers, to confide in one another. That's important. That's one of the reasons why we come together on a Sunday, to encourage one another. But it's better to put confidence in the Lord, the Word of God says, than to put confidence in man. Trust in the Lord. Don't trust in the pastor, because he might let you down. Or don't trust in the leadership of the church, because they might let you down. Don't trust in another believer, because they might let you down. Let's face it, we're all human beings and we're frail and we do fail, make mistakes and let one another down. But thank God, the Lord is not a disappointment. We can trust in him, for he will never fail us. Yes, the Lord Jesus speaks here about a new peace. Let not your heart be troubled. Your heart's deceitful. My heart's deceitful. It's desperately wicked, the Bible says, and it will be troubled. Your deceitful, wicked heart will try to steal your peace away, but you're not to let your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe in Christ. There's peace for the people of God. The Lord Jesus speaks not only about a new peace here. He speaks about a new place. A new place. In verse 2, Winston Churchill's text, we could call it, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Think back to your childhood. Think back to childhood days at home. I'm sure we've all got fond memories. That place, that house where we were brought up. Not very long ago, I decided to take a drive up to my home place, my homestead, way up in the little, just outside the village of Ocker, center of the universe. I was up visiting my parents one day, and I decided they don't live in the same house now. They only live a couple of miles away. But anyway, I decided to take a drive down to where we were born and brought up. And my, it brought back memories. Just to think about the days that were spent. I'm not going to tell you how many years ago, but you probably know already. But it was home. Precious memories. But you know, for those of us who are saved, over and above where we were brought up, we've got a heavenly home. We've got a far greater home because heaven is our home. The hymn writer put it like this: this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Don't forget that. You're just passing through. And you only get one chance. You don't come back again. And none of us can rewind the clock. You can't do what you can do with your Sky remote control at home. Rewind. You can't do that with life. I have only one life on this earth, and as vapor, it's passing away. I must labor for treasures of worth ere toil ends at the close of the day. Thank God we're journeying to the house of many mansions. Let us redeem the time as we do so. Let us, as we think about that new place that Christ is preparing for us, let us live with eternity's values in view. Let's labor for the Lord while we can. Someday in the house of many mansions, we'll be able to rest. We'll be able to sit beside the Savior and ask him questions about things in life we didn't understand. But until that day comes, let us labor. As the hymn writer puts it, let us labor for the Master. And let us toil for him. The Lord Jesus speaks about a new peace. A new place. And then he finishes with a new pledge. Verse 3, a new pledge. Listen to the pledge of the Savior, the promise that he gives to his people. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I don't know whether you've ever heard of Benjamin Disraeli. He was a politician, Jewish, by the way. He was a Jew. But whenever he was elected to Parliament and he stood up to give his maiden speech in the House of Commons, he was shouted down. They didn't like Jews. And they didn't like Disraeli. And he was heckled by the MPs of that day. And just before he sat down, in the midst of their catcalls and their boos and their hisses, he said, "Yes, I will sit down, but I will be back again someday." And you know, Benjamin Disraeli did come back again, and he became a great politician, a great statesman. You know, the Lord Jesus today in this world is rejected. He's despised. The hymn writer said, our Lord is now rejected and by the world disowned. You could say that people today, they hiss at Christ. They despise him. They heckle him. No time for the Savior. But thank God, one day he's coming back again. See, this world, this earth belongs to him. And one day he's coming back to claim his rightful property. And thank God for that. How many more years can this old world go on staggering to and fro like a drunken man? With all the violence, the bloodshed, the hatred that's in the world today, the immorality that's everywhere and like a cancer in the world today, how much longer can it go on? Well, I believe it's not going to go on for much longer before Christ comes back. I'm not going to put a date on it today. I'm not going to make the mistake that preachers have made in the past of scaring people into salvation by talking about dates. That's foolish. But let me just say that I believe that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, there's a new peace here and a new place. And thank God there's a new pledge. Our Father, we thank you today for the memory of Winston Churchill. We thank you for the godly leader, the God-fearing leader that he was. And, O Lord, our prayer today would be that you would give us leaders like him in our day and generation. We even think of the election that's on the horizon. O Lord, raise up godly men and women to stand for thee. Now we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be our portion until Jesus comes or calls, for we ask it in the Savior's name. Amen.